I'd like to welcome each and every one of us out today. I hope that you're having a great morning. I know that sometimes after a long week, and we have had a long week, a wonderful week, but it's been long. Sometimes we can come into the assembly and feel a little tired and run down after a long week of work. But it's so wonderful to be able to come together with like-minded Christians and encourage one another. Have the opportunity to read from the Scriptures. Remember Jesus Christ and the sacrifice He gave for us. And I just feel so blessed to be with you this morning. I want to begin by obviously telling each and every one of the fathers in the audience this morning, Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. As we had lessons all week long on the family in the adult classroom, we learned all through our vacation Bible school that parenting, well, it's a wonderful thing, but it comes with a wonderful responsibility. And we all need to take that seriously as we learned this last week that there are many things that while we think we're doing everything we can always improve as parents, always improve as children, and always improve as Christians in doing both of those things. And speaking of the Vacation Bible School, I just want to take just a moment to just praise where praise is due. As I came each night, I've got to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised every single night at the attendance of each and every one of you. So many times you can go to Vacation Bible Schools, you can go to meetings, and you see that the members of the congregation don't see the value in coming out to hearing the Word of God. Not you guys. Now, y'all are here in great numbers, and I just want to say thank you. A pat on the back to every single one of you. It was important that we were out, important that we heard about our families, important that we learned more of how we can be better Christians and better parents, and the numbers were great. So thank you so much. I was very encouraged to see each and every one of you out, and I just want to say great job. Great job. At this time, I'd like us to turn in our Bibles, if we're not already, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This morning I want to talk to us about the free gift. The free gift. We're going to learn more about that in Romans chapter 5 today. Let's begin by reading verses 12 through 14. 12 through 14. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. And we'll stop right there. These verses that we read, I understand that a lot of people read these verses and think, what are they saying? It seems so figurative. It seems kind of deep to understand these things. Well, I'll tell you this morning, we're going to go through Romans chapter 5, and we're going to learn that while some of these words seem a little deep, the message is so simple. The message is so true and something that each and every one of us, whether we're a Christian or not, need to be reminded of. The first thing we learn about in verses 12 through 14 is the fact that there's two generations, or two types of men, so to speak. The first man that we learn about is Adam. And we learn that, well, the first man on this earth, he sinned. And what did that sin cause? Well, it caused death. It caused for, whether we like it or not, whether it's fair or not, the consequence of Adam's sin is that each and every one of us must physically die. Another death that we can have because of Adam's sin is a spiritual death. But when I say that, I want to make sure that we understand that when I say that we can die spiritually because of Adam's sin, that does not necessarily mean that we have to. Some people falsely go to these verses and falsely teach that the original sin, that each and every one of us that were born, we already have sin on our heads. And that is not at all what the New Testament teaches. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That means that Adam sinned and fell short of the glory of God, and that you and I can fall short of the glory of God, but not that we were born with some type of sin. That's not what the New Testament teaches at all. Any idea of original sin needs to be thrown right out the door. that is strictly false teaching, and we know that by looking at verses such as Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 10, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. You know what Jesus calls little children? He doesn't say that they have sin the day they were born. You know what Jesus says? Jesus calls children, such is the kingdom of God. Now, children are not born with original sin, but we all must face the consequences of sin, and that is physical death and a possible spiritual death, depending on our actions. The second man that we read about in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, is Jesus. Jesus chapter 14, it says, He who is a type of Him who was to come. Jesus is the next Adam, if you will. And we need to notice that though Jesus was without any sin, He still was not immune from facing the consequence of death. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, talking of Jesus, For He, being God, for He made Him, being Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus had no sin whatsoever, but even He was not immune to physical death. Jesus had to be put to death to take on your sin, to take on my sin, to wipe the slate clean for us. That's kind of the introduction of Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. That kind of sets up what we're going to talk about. We know that there's two men. There's Adam. Brought sin into the world, brought physical death into the world, brought spiritual death into the world. There's also another man, and we're going to contrast those two by continuing to read together. We're going to talk about the free gift by reading Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Again, I understand that some of these verses, they kind of go back and forth saying kind of the similar things, and it can be hard to understand, but it is not hard to understand. What the verses here are doing are contrasting the two men. The Holy Spirit is telling us about the two men through the pen of Paul. The first that we read about in verse 15 talks about Adam's sin or his offense. What did it do? It caused many to die. As the introduction of Romans 5 already told us, it introduced physical and spiritual death to this world. On the flip side, what's the contrast that we read about in these verses? Well, verse 15 talks about Jesus, and it talks about the grace of God that freely gives us the free gift. What is the free gift that we're talking about this morning? What is Romans chapter 5 talk about when it says free gift? Salvation. Adam, the first man that was created by God, he sinned. He was separated. That's what sin does. It separates us from God. So physical and spiritual death can be for us all. But Jesus, the second man, the second type, the second Adam, came into this world and gave us the free gift of salvation. The free gift of salvation. Let's read verse 16 again. And the gift, which is salvation, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. Again, continuing the contrast, we as the human race have received two gifts. Whether we like it or not, we've received two, one being better than the other. The first gift that we received is the consequence of Adam's sin. The ability to receive condemnation. That's not such a good gift, but we've received it. What about the second gift? A much more wonderful gift. Verse 15 says much more. We'll read verse 17 again in just a moment. It talks about much more. Second gift that we've received as a human race is justification of sins through Jesus' sacrifice. A free gift. There's not a single thing that we could do to deserve it, but we have received it because God loves us. Because Jesus loves us. What a wonderful thing to receive a free gift. Let's read verse 17 again. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Again, the final contrast. Adam's sin resulted in physical death and the possibility of each and every one of us to die spiritually. Do you understand that? Do you understand the difference? Some people falsely teach that we're born and we're already sinners ready to go to hell. That's not the case. That is not what this verse or any of the New Testament teaches. It simply teaches us that Adam brought sin into this world and the ability for you and me to make the wrong decisions and to spiritually die. But it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to die a spiritual death because much more of us will receive the gift of righteousness. Sometimes in the world we live in, we think, so sinful. There's got to be more sinners than there is people that believe in God. We can get down and think, what's the point? What's the use? That's not what this verse says. This verse says, much more of us will receive the gift of righteousness. All we have to do is receive it. We just have to take the free gift that God gives us, that Jesus' sacrifice gives us. That's what the free gift is, salvation. We began this morning by looking at two types, Adam, Jesus. Now we've contrasted the two. A very simple concept to take in. Sin, death. Obedience to God, obedience to Jesus, life. Let's continue. Let's read verses 18 through 19. 18 through 19. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's obedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. This is a contrast of sinners and righteousness. We need to not misunderstand something, though. We need to not misunderstand that. Let me back up and make a point. Let's come back to that. In speaking of verses 18 and 19, we need to see that through Adam's sin, judgment came to us all. Again, you're saying, Adam, you've already told us this. We've already read this. Well, let's just see what the Scriptures say. Let's make sure we understand. Through Adam's sin, judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation. So what are the two results? Well, there's two results that we can see. Plain and simple. Sin equals death. Righteousness equals life. We read these verses and sometimes it's hard to understand, but it's not that hard. We simply need to break it down and to understand what these verses are telling us. And it's as simple as this morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, sin equals death. Righteousness equals life. Let's not make it harder than it has to be. Let's not every time we assemble together to hear a lesson, to hear a Bible lesson from Chuck, think that we have to get into deep things. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the simple things of being a Christian. Sin equals death. Do we remember that in our daily actions? We need to. Let's finish out Romans chapter 5 by reading together the conclusion of verses 20 through 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the point I want to go ahead and make right now. In verse 20, talking about the law entered that the offense might abound. Does that verse say that God wants sin to abound in this life? Don't misunderstand to think that is what it's talking about. Think with me just for a second with a metaphor of a doctor. When you go to the hospital and you think you might have a broken bone, you're not sure, what do you do? You go and you get an x-ray. What's that do? That lets you see inside of your body to see, do I have a bad broken bone or is it good and not broken? Similarly, a doctor will use medicine sometimes to bring out a disease, to bring out a reaction, to find out whether or not you're sick. They'll give you a certain medicine to see what the reaction is, to see if there is something bad in you or not. Think of that same way as an x-ray, as the Word of God, the law. If we didn't have the law, how would we know if we're good or bad? How do we know if we're righteous or we're sinful in this life? This verse does not say that God gave the law of Moses so that sin would abound. He gave it to restrain the people from wrong and to guide them in the right way. Just as you go to the doctor and he tells you what's right or wrong with your body, that's what the Word of God does for our spiritual life. It tells us what's wrong. It tells us what is right. It guides us. Again, verse 21, simple concept for you. Verse 21, sin equals death. Obedience to Jesus equals receiving the free gift of salvation. It's just that plain and simple. Why have we covered these things this morning? Why have we looked at these verses and thought, I already knew that, Adam. Because I know personally in my life, I need to be reminded sometimes. I need to be reminded that I'm a Christian, reminded by studying the Scriptures of what sin does in my life. Even as Christians, we can have the tendency to think, I've been saved. I've confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I've given my life over to Him. I've repented. I've allowed baptism to wipe my sins clean. I'm good. I can just keep this little sin in my life. You know, 10 or 20% of my life is sin. So what? I've got 80 or 90% that's devoted to God. When we read these Scriptures, we need to understand what sin does spiritually to us. We already know because of Adam's sin, we're all going to physically die. But sin will make us spiritually die as well. We've read the striking contrast in these verses. We've talked about two reigns, the reign of Adam and sin, the reign of Jesus and life. So with our knowledge of these two reigns, I want us to focus our attention to the point that we need to understand we have a choice. We have a choice. What reign are we going to choose? Are we going to pick the reign of righteousness and life or sin and death? This morning I want to talk to the Christians at first. I want to talk to the Christians. As a Christian, we've read these verses. We understand what sin is. We understand that sin equals spiritual death, but do we really understand it? Do we? Let's read together Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. If you'll read with me in verses 1 through 4. To the Christian this morning, to one who has been saved by the blood of Christ through baptism, read these verses with me. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We'll pause there just to break down these verses a little bit. As I'll have on the projector behind us, verse 3 says, as were baptized. Do you remember that many of us, especially some of the Christians in the room that are a little older, you might have been baptized 20, 30, 40 years ago, and we can forget the glory of that day, forget the sacrifice that Jesus did, and forget that we're supposed to turn our lives over to God. Remember that we were baptized. Verse 4 says that we should walk in newness of life. That means that there's something to be new. That before we were baptized, we were in sin. We were in spiritual death. Now that we are saved through the blood of Christ, there should be a newness of life. There should be no more sin in our lives, including myself. We need to rid all of that in our lives. We're not perfect. God knows we're not perfect. We're not expected to be perfect, but we're expected to walk in newness of life.
verse 5 talks about in the likeness of His resurrection. Jesus Christ died for every single one of us. How are we supposed to live as Christians, as I'm speaking just to the Christians right now? We're to walk in the likeness of His resurrection. His resurrection is what saved each and every one of us. We are to walk in that likeness. In other words, walk in a way that shows God, that shows Jesus, we appreciate what You did for us. A moment ago, we took the Lord's Supper. We partook of the juice and broke the bread. That is to remind us each and every week what Jesus did for you, what He did for me, and we are to walk in a way that shows that we appreciate it. Not just appreciate it when we just break the bread one day a week. We are to walk in newness of life every single day. Walk in a way that is like His resurrection. Verse 6, we should no longer be slaves of sin. As a Christian, we are no longer to be slaves of sin. Let's continue reading Romans chapter 6. I want you to read together verses 5 and 6. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We should no longer be slaves of sin. What does that mean? Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us. He died on the cross in one of the worst ways that a man could possibly be put to death. What's that mean for you and me as a Christian? Verse 6 told us, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. If Jesus Christ was crucified, you know what our sins are supposed to be done? They are supposed to be crucified with Him. You need to literally think as a Christian. I need to literally think before I make a decision, before I do a sinful action. Jesus Christ died on the cross. You know what I'm supposed to do with my sins? I'm supposed to take my sins and nail them to that cross. In other words, I'm to place them there. They are to no longer be with me. Romans chapter 5, 12 through 21 talks about a plain and simple thing. Sin, death, Jesus, life. The beginning of these passages talked about, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. If you want to continue to receive the grace of God, continue to walk with Him, nail your sins to the cross and leave them there. It's so hard for us as Christians. It is so hard. Sometimes we just want to sin just a little bit. So we want to go over there to the cross and we just want to take down just a little bit of sin. I'll put it back up there tonight when I ask for forgiveness. I'll put it back, but just right now. Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us. On the cross. Leave your sins on the cross. The hard thing to do, and I know we're not perfect, neither am I, far from it. But we just need to be reminded of the basic principles of wrong and right. We need to be reminded of what Jesus did for us. If we consider these things this morning to the Christian, are you continuing in sin? We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. Don't get down on yourself just because you sinned once, but the word is continue in sin. You're going to sin. It's going to happen. So do everything in your power as we read these verses to not continue. Don't take the sin off the cross and carry it with you every day. As soon as you can, you repent and you walk away from sin. You put it back to where it was on that cross where Jesus Christ cleansed you and me. Don't continue in sin. We understand by the verses we read earlier that sin equals death. This morning I also want to talk to the lost soul. Those of you this morning who are of an age where you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You're of an age that as I read these things with us this morning, and as you hear these things, you understand them. You don't need anybody to explain to you right from wrong. You don't need anybody to explain to you what Jesus is, what God is, what He did for you. This is for you. It doesn't matter if you're of a young age or if you're 80 years old. But you have not yet obeyed the gospel. I want us to read together these things in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 into. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The first thing I want to tell you this morning, those of you who are lost who have not yet obeyed the gospel, first and foremost, I want you to understand that you can be justified by your faith. Your sins can be justified by your faith. But I want to explain that a little further. Some people believe that if you just believe that God is, you just believe Jesus is, that you're saved. That's not what kind of faith Paul is talking about in Romans. In the bookend chapters of Romans, he tells us exactly what kind of faith he's talking about. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, we see the kind of faith that Paul talks about. We see that faith is an action. Faith is not just a belief. I talked about that with our teens in our last Bible study. I tried to explain that faith is something that you do. It's a verb. It's an action. It's a way of life. Faith results in obedience. Faith is not just simply a belief. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Through Him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom you have also called to Jesus Christ. Verse 5, did you notice what it said? It said, for obedience to the faith. Not just faith, not just belief, but an obedience to the faith. The bookend of Romans is chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, it talks again about what kind of faith. What kind of faith? And that's in verse 26. But now it's been made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 5. Understand this morning that if you are lost and not yet have been baptized, understand that faith does not just save you, but the justification of your faith will lead you to obedience. And obedient faith will lead you to being baptized, to being saved from your sin. I want you to understand verse 2. Verse 2 talks about access. What does access mean? That means that each and every one of us this morning has access. There's not one of us that's better than the other. Jesus died for each one of us. You want to know if you can be saved this morning? You want to know, are you too sinful to be saved? Verse 2 says you have access by faith into this grace. Don't use the excuse that we talked about this morning in Bible class and think, I'm too sinful. Jesus came to save those who are too sinful. Jesus didn't come to call those that already believed in Him. He came to save those that think they're too sinful. That think there's nothing they can do to get back in the right ways of God. You need to understand that you have access this morning. I also want us to understand something else. Let's read together verses 6 through 8. Chapter 5, 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you are not saved this morning, Christ died for you. You have access. You need to understand that Christ died for us. You need to understand that Christ paid your penalty. There is nothing that you can do that is too bad. Why are you waiting? Jesus Christ loves you. He came to this earth. Here's what He did for you. Chapter 4, verse 25. Talking of Jesus, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. We talked about offenses in Romans chapter 5. We talked about sin that entered in the world because of Adam. You know what? Jesus was delivered up because of that sin. Furthermore, He was raised up to justify you of any sin in your life. Why are you waiting? We need to understand, sometimes we don't need to go into the hard things of the Bible. We don't need to discuss things that we can disagree on. We can always find something to disagree on that's not necessarily about our salvation. How about we just get back to the Bible and saving souls? We had a wonderful vacation Bible school this week. I know it's going to bear much fruit for this group. As long as we get back to the gospel and we just understand right from wrong, sin, death, obedience to Jesus, life. I want to close with this morning by reading one more final verse for you. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That plain and simple, brothers and sisters. If we sin and we continue in it, we'll not only receive the physical death that's coming to us all, we'll receive a spiritual death. But the gift of God, the free gift that is there for each and every one of us, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning I'll close with this thought as we've looked at Romans chapter 5. To the Christian this morning, will you choose sin and receive eternal death? And speaking of a free gift, it's Father's Day. Hopefully some of us as fathers are going to receive some gifts. I've already received mine, and I'm really happy about it. How would my wife feel? How would my wife feel if I took this gift from her and from Noah, and a year from now, I stood in the trash. I went and burned it. I spat on it. I said, I don't want that anymore. You know, it's the same thing that we as Christians can do to our Lord and Savior. If a year later after we've been baptized and then we just say, that was fun. Thank you for your salvation. I don't need it anymore. It's time for you to have some fun. That's what we're doing. We're throwing the free gift in the trash. We're spitting on it. We're burning it. We're saying thank you, but I don't need it anymore. As Christians, we need to understand that kind of lifestyle of keeping sin in our lives is eternal death. For the lost soul this morning, we need to understand that if you choose sin, you will receive not only the physical death coming to you, but your spiritual death. To the Christian this morning, will you receive the gift of salvation? You've already received it. Will you continue in it? Will you continue to study the Scriptures? Continue to follow the Lord? Continue to tell others about Jesus Christ? This last week was so great. It encouraged me a whole lot. I know it did for you too. Take that encouragement. Take that what's built up inside you and tell others about Jesus Christ. If you're a lost soul this morning, why are you waiting? You know that there's a free gift waiting for you right here? Right here. All you have to do is walk down and tell us you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and decide you will no longer live for yourself, but live for God. It will take you to the nearest body of water and you will be baptized and right now you will be a child of God. Why are you waiting? There's a free gift that is there for each and every one of us. Don't take it for granted. Don't wait to receive it. We can help you in any way this morning, and we ask you to come. As we stand and sing, please, won't you come?